All right, let's take your Bibles, if you would. Open up to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. And we'll begin reading in verse 28 and read through verse 32, have a word of prayer, and go from there. Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Imagine you standing there listening to that. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, for the instruction that you have for us, and for the integrity of this word, that we know that it has come from you, and that you have preserved it. And so we know, Father, where the authority lies, and we pray that we would show that by our response to your word. I pray that you'd speak to every heart, especially we who are saved, and then also to those who aren't, if there are any, that they might be convicted of their sin, their need to be saved, and to come trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, that as much as is within me, that I might not get in the way of what you want all of us to know, and that we would be receptive through the power of the Holy Spirit as well. It's not only the giving forth that is needed of the Holy Spirit, but the receiving as well. And so we ask both to occur here tonight, and we thank you again for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I want you to go through with me the entire most of the message tonight before you think I jumped off the cliff, all right? So you know that something's going to happen that it's just who I am. All right, this is the first parable of three parables. You have the two sons. Down in verse 33, you have the certain householder. And then in chapter 22, the king had the marriage for his son. All right, all of those were given to the Jewish elite who questioned the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Go back to verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Listen, when you don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, you do all sorts of things. Just like here. If you don't believe that he is in fact God manifest in the flesh, that he's the creator, that he's Almighty God, and every attribute that applies to God, this is what happens when people don't do that. And they did this his entire earthly ministry. They questioned his authority. What authority do you have to talk like this? Well, let's go to verse 28. And I want you to see. And so he says, he doesn't address this as a parable until verse 33. Here, another parable. So we know this is a parable. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. You see that the father, did not hire a slave or a hireling to do the work of his vineyard, but rather commanded his son. Hirelings don't exactly have the best interest of a vineyard doing well, because they work for a paycheck. They work for something other than, you know, the betterment of the vineyard. And generally speaking, maybe not so much today, but I know this is how it should be, a son will work for his father because he loves him. So have you ever wondered how many of God's children, through faith in Christ, serve him in his vineyard with that kind of mindset? That is, I'll do this. I'll do what you ask. I'll do what you say, only because I want the Lord to do something for me. When we were at a school, at a Bible college, we were up visiting my parents. We were thinking about what about the possibility of starting a local church in Maryland, outside of Baltimore. And so, you know, we were thinking about that. And one afternoon, I met a man. I started witnessing to him. He said, well, I'm a Presbyterian preacher. And I told him what we were trying to do. He wasn't too interested in the gospel. And he said, why don't you consider joining the Presbyterian church? I said, well, why would I want to do that? He says, well, I've got it made. Now, this is in the mid-70s. He says, I only preach one message a week. And he says, and that's most of the time given to me by the denomination. And I read it. And he says, the rest of the week I play golf and do pretty much whatever I want to do. And I earn $50,000 a year. Well, that's very impressive, isn't it? I look at this and I say, you know, all he was a hireling. He didn't care about the Lord. He didn't care about souls. He didn't care about the word. All he cared about what he was going to get from it. See, he had benefits, and you were able to do this and to do that. All right. Also, I want you to notice the father gave a specific time for his son to work. Today. Now. It wasn't, listen, I'd like you to go and work in the vineyard whenever you get around to it. Or after you get all your other stuff done. He instructed him there today. Listen, to time, the time to serve the Lord is not when you're older, not when you have more experience, not when you know more, not when you have more time. Young people always, not always, but think that they always have to have more experience to be able to do something. Young Christians, same thing. I need more experience. I need more knowledge. Older people are ready to retire and relax, but you don't retire from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't retire from working the vineyard. You just don't. I mean, you can retire from a position, but you don't retire from service. Look at John chapter 4. This is our Lord's explanation. I think it applies not only to him, but to every one of us who are saved. Verse 4. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Do what you can when you have the ability to do it. Do what you can when you're told to do it from the Lord. Again, while you can. There's a lot of people on the sidelines. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. That have wished that they had listened to that a long time ago. And now they're pretty much sidelined, pretty much on the side, and not able to do anything. If you don't use what you have while you can, you know, oftentimes you either age significantly where you can't, or the Lord takes some of those things away from you. In verse 7, wherefore, Hebrews 3:7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. I don't need the rest of the verse. Not next year, not next month, not tomorrow. Today. Here we are today. We're not living tomorrow. We're not living yesterday. We're living today. So the instruction back in Matthew 21 was go to the vineyard, work the vineyard today. And it's very important. So if you're going to serve the Lord, when do you think you're supposed to start? Today. You don't wait until later. You use what you know. I knew John 3:16 after I got saved. That's all I knew. And I knew that before I was saved. But as a saved person, I knew what it meant. I knew what happened to me. I knew who I trusted. I knew that it was by faith. I knew I was saved. And that's all I knew. And I used that. I know a little bit more now, but I use what I had when I didn't have anything else. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Keep your place in Matthew, because we'll go right back. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Doing is an action word. It doesn't say let us not be weary in sitting down and relaxing and rocking and letting other people do it. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. All right. Today. It's speaking about. And that's the instruction. That's the command that he gave to his son. And look at verse 30. I want to deal with the second son first. And he came to the second and said likewise. All right. Likewise is, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Now, do you find anything unusual about that answer? I do. I look at that as very formal, not personal. I mean, in our day, respect was yes, sir, no, sir. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That is pretty much by the wayside. I don't know that that was a term of respect by there. I think that was a term of difference, of separation to some degree. I think this son was very smooth in the way he talked. I go. I'll go. Personally, I don't think he ever intended to go. So his words didn't mean anything. The fact that he said, I go, and he didn't, you know what that means? I don't know that I can believe anything about what you say. You ever consider how many people say they are saved? Because they said a prayer, walked an aisle, held a preacher's hand, I even heard that, raised a hand, or filled out a card. How many people in your lifetime as a saved individual haven't you heard say, well, I'm saved because I raised my hand? Or, again, you know, all those things, or told God, I will, but failed to do what God commanded them to do. I mean, just outright failed. Listen, just saying you are saved doesn't qualify you for eternity with God in heaven. The book of James is a great book on tests. One of them is a testing of genuine faith. And a lot of people say, I have faith, and they don't follow it. They don't follow it up. So James is saying, if your faith is genuine, this is what you're going to do. If your faith isn't genuine, you're not going to do these things. That's what he's saying. And what this is saying, basically, is that salvation without repentance is paganism. Pure paganism, or, at best, blatant, unscriptural, quote-unquote, Christianity. People are often quick to make statements of affirmation or, for use of a better word, commitments, or just give what they believe is the right answer that people want to hear to get rid of you, but with no intention of following through. We as believers know how to do this better than anybody. We know that we can fall back on, well, I feel like this is the Lord's will for me. Our missionary to now Wales, Angela Baker, was going through serious issues with the mission board that she was formerly with in England. The mission board is in the United States, Independent Baptist Church. And they pretty much had her, they had reined her to the place where she played the piano, she taught Sunday school. She could do that thing, and a lot of churches in the area, Baptist Works, were asking, could you come and play for me? She wasn't the main pianist, and so she said, I would, and they said, you can't, we are not going to allow you to go. And then it got more oppressive, and so she came back to the United States, met with the pastor, and told him that I feel that it's God's will for me to leave this ministry, this mission board, and go to Wales. And the key to that was saying, I believe it is God's will. Because if she tried to argue any other way, he would not have let her go. Well, I don't think you use that as a mantra. She did, because she knew that's the only way to get out of. And there were deep theological issues at hand here. And, you know, we talked several times. And she was just so grateful that she took the position that she did. But you need to know, don't use what you know in a wrong way. So, it could, you know, it also could be that you have the right intention, but no power to do what's right. Go with me to chapter 7 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 7. In verse 20 we read, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Then them are the false prophets of verse 15. Beware of false prophets would come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are three of the most serious verses in Scripture, because there are many people that I see trucks going down the road, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Other than the words, does it mean more than that what's being said there? I don't know. And I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation at all. but to examine yourselves to see whether you even have it. That's important. You get tested on your knowledge in school. All right? You get tested on who you are from Scripture. And you measure yourself from Scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. So you know that I'm not making this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5th verse. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? This is an important thing to do, just to go over and make sure you're basing what it is you say you have on the truth. Because many people have been taught a lot of different things, and this is what they say. And not always is it based on by grace through faith. Not only is it based on the truth of Scripture, it's based on extra-biblical revelation. Imagine thinking you're going to heaven on a man's extra-biblical revelation, and you wind up in hell. Don't take my word for this. Read it. Examine it. Examine your heart. Listen, when you got saved, you weren't redecorated. We're going through here, and you know what we're doing? We're not going new. We're redecorating. A lot of people, when they get saved, think, all I do is I'm being decorated. No, you were made new, but the flesh hangs on and despises everything that is spiritual. And so you're in a warfare. And you have to understand that and realize that. And so the boy in verse 30 said enough to quiet his father, but he did nothing. All right, here's the first son, verse 28. And it came to the first, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. All right, very quickly. The sons represent the two classes of people in the nation. We're talking about the Jewish nation. Verse 31. Whether of the twain did, them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And then he goes into verse 32. And what is he talking about? In verse 32, self-righteous religious people, the scribes, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these are the ones that commandeered Judaism in the lifetime of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one group. The other ones were sinners saved by grace. Again, in verse 32, the publicans and the harlots believed him, but the self-righteous didn't believe him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So after hearing John the Baptist's message, they turned their no, or this boy turned their no into actions by going to work in the vineyard. But the people, for the most part, the leaders, did not. The publicans and the harlots did. I mean, these were regarded as the scum of the earth. Human debris. Taxpayers, collectors were always publicans, cheats, frauds. And they would give the government their due and then they would skim off the top. And they made a great living that way. They were hated people. And so, what happened? When they received Christ as Savior, they were forgiven of their sins. And now today, they have time to live for the Lord, their Lord. And so this one here, I think he represents maybe part of that establishment, but I think just really the publican and harlot type situation, people who know they're sinners and that they're sinners saved by grace. What is it so great about us that we can measure ourselves in terms of we deserved to be saved? Maybe we weren't publicans and maybe we weren't harlots, but that's used as a type for people that are ungodly. And you raise your hand before you were saved and tell me you were godly, when that's impossible. We were ungodly. But when we came to Christ, we were forgiven, and that was based on our repentance and trusted Christ as Savior. So then we go to verse 31 again, and again, the Lord says to them, after they agreed that it was the first son that did the will of his father, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom before you." So here you have the religious group, versed in the law, versed in the scriptures, as far as the scriptures were of the Old Testament. They knew the prophets. They knew they didn't have major, minor prophets at that time. They were just the prophets. And you come to this conclusion. Being religious does not save you. And that's the base of what they had. They were religious. That's all they had. You know, but and then we're face to face with gross sin. And any life of sin repented of in connection with belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to keep you out of heaven. Are there any women in the New Testament? Or the Old Testament? There were harlots that came to Christ. I think of one that's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. Rahab. Mary Magdalene. I mean, these were people, again, everybody knew them. Everybody knew of them. And when people know of you and what you were, when you say you're something different now, there's always questions. Always. Because they knew you before. Even though they don't know you now. But here, they had the ability to repent of their sin, and they did. Through faith in Christ, they were saved. And heaven was now going to be their home. Listen, by the way, this was a message that Billy Graham utterly failed to preach in his Las Vegas crusade years ago. And I listened to every one of them. And in each and every case, he got the gaming people in, he got the harlots in from the brothels, and after he was all through, he sent them back to the gaming room and he sent them back to the brothels. That made a lot of sense, didn't it? And here, we have just the opposite. All right, so in the text, you have three possibilities, three possible outcomes. Tell God yes, and do what you said you should do, or what he said you should do. Secondly, tell God no, and then repent and do what he wants you to do. And number three, tell God yes and do nothing. They're all possibilities. And we're in one of those three categories. Are you shocked today to hear that all those who reject Christ by faith alone as their Savior will ultimately be cast into a lake of fire for all eternity? Are you shocked to hear that? You shouldn't be. It's in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. You shouldn't be shocked to hear that. But that's not a welcomed message today. That's not a religiously correct message or politically correct. And many of these people get on television and they get to before these big named people and they say nothing. Even when they're addressed, Larry King, you know that I'm a Jew and I don't believe in Christ. Does that mean I will go to hell for all eternity? Who do you think he asked that to? Smiley man, Mr. Joel Osteen. And he wouldn't answer him. He would not answer him. And I've said this before, if I was one of those 30,000 bobbleheads in there, I would be one that was out of there in a heartbeat if you can't stand up for the Word of God. But listen, it just goes on and on and on. But this should shock us. This should shake us to our core, that many who profess salvation or Christianity will not go to heaven. Matthew 7:21-23. It says it there, not everyone that does that is going. It's not what you say. And that's important. So in dealing with these two sons, which one are you? You're one or the other. You could have said no. And if you're saved, I think you become uncomfortable because of the Holy Spirit and the conviction, all right? Well, then act on that. Repent and go serve him today because that's what he wants. That's what he's always wanted. He wanted it from the moment you got saved, even though you didn't know a lot of this. Or you could have said yes and inwardly been empty, void of anything of the Holy Spirit and lost. Or you could have accepted Christ as your Savior, but you will not go to work for Him. You are defiant. You are not going to do it. You are not going to see the need to help. You are not going to see the need to witness. You are not going to see the need for this or for that or anything else. You will not go. You will not go. And basically, a lot of this has to do with falling for Satan's traps and lies and caught in the cares of this world and caught in up in self. What is it that you are not willing to drop to serve Christ as Savior other than sin? And you ought to, you don't, I mean, I didn't mean it as if sin had anything to do with it. There are certain things that, hey, when it comes to doing this, no. Or doing that, no. And it's not even an argument. Just realize you miss the will of God for your life. Because the will of God was that the boy went. To the boy to go. And that's very important. We need to be a people that turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're saved and we're genuinely saved, then get on your working clothes. Go into the field and work the vineyards. You may not know everything about everything. I don't know everything about everything. I know some things about some things. But I go with what I have. And you go with what you have. And the Lord has given you information as you go along. And the Lord has given me information as I go along. I think I know a little bit more today than I knew back then. And if I was presented with all that when I got saved, I would have been pretty confused. But at the same time, this is still God's Word. And so the Lord is saying this. But what is the basis of him saying that? They questioned his authority. They wanted to be the authority over the people, the religious people that they supposedly served. Actually, the people were serving them. We were talking after church about this business of authority. If you get to a church where you have to serve the pastor, get out. That's all I'm going to say, because it's good scriptural advice. There's one authority. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's found in this book. I can follow a man if he follows Christ. I took this stand a long time ago. I'm not going to follow somebody that doesn't follow Christ just because he tells me he's my authority. That drops the moment he departs from God's word. And it's very important. All right, so here's the first answer. We have two more to go. Not tonight, though. The first answer to these people that wanted to know, on what authority can you do these things? I can do this because I am God manifest in the flesh. And I have been sent by my Father to do his will. And I can tell my children to go into the vineyard and work. And he gives two examples. And they encompass every single one of us. I would rather have been the one that said, absolutely not, and repent of what I said and whatever I meant by that, and then wound up going, than being the other one said, sure, okay, I'm going, and then never show up. So now it's in our court. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray. As you bow your heads tonight, as always, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are spiritually. But God does. And I know that, number one, he wants you saved through the Lord Jesus Christ more than I do, more than anything. And you can come to him tonight and be saved. It is not a process. It is not a lifelong thing. It is instantaneous. It is forever. But you must come on his terms. Secondly, we who are saved, I pray that we might ask ourselves, what is it, Lord, that I will not do? I will not even entertain to do when you've told me to go work and live for you and serve you. Because if there's something there, repent of that thing. Get rid of that thing so that you can be what the Lord wants you to be. He wants you to serve. We notice that in our text, the boy that eventually went, that didn't in the beginning, there was repentance involved there. It wasn't just a kind of like a glib thought and said, oh yeah, I'll go do it. Why not? No. He did it with a clean heart. And that's what God wants. So as we go to prayer, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, we have our invitation. If he's speaking to your heart, you feel the need to come and pray, you come. If you've been saved, never baptized by immersion, good time to make that intent known. Doesn't save you, has nothing to do with saving you. Everything to do with identification with Christ and his death, burial, resurrection. Visitors, Lord, pressing upon your heart, the intent to maybe join in with this local church, be a good time to do that. I'm not going to coerce you, I'm not going to bribe you. It has to be the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the confrontation that our Savior had with these people who thought they knew everything, who inwardly thought they were the authority, when in fact you are the authority. Thankful, Father, that you prove it over and over and over again. We have a complete, perfect book. Doesn't leave verses out. It doesn't add verses in. It tells us what we need to know. It is the authority. And as this was spoken into existence, it is as if the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking them here to us. And so I pray the power of the Holy Spirit would just take control of us and wherever we are spiritually here, that we may be yes men and women and boys and girls to this word, this perfect word, to its commands, to its suggestions, to its exhortations, to its prohibitions, to its separation, and anything else that you deem necessary for us to know, and of course, to go. May you have your will in the invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.